Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are here by your grace, and we thank you for the privilege of being in this body that you have formed, just the blessing that it is to us. And Father, we ask that as we look at your word, that you would open up the scriptures to us, and once again, we would be incited to laying a hold of the reality and the truths that are there. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In our study of the great words of salvation, the word for today is peace. And you may remember that we dealt with reconciliation, which of course covers some of the aspects. I'll go over them and hopefully stir us up by way of reminder as to these things. But I'd like to start in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I'm laying this out because as unbelievers, we had no peace with God. We were separate from him and under his wrath. And this passage lays it out very clearly. Verse 1, and you were dead, spiritually dead, separated from God. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked. That was your habit of life, mine also, according to the course of this world. We looked at that earlier here today. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Satan in view there, and that unity of the world in being under his sway. Simply the sons of disobedience. Oh boy. Among them, you know what I love about this is it's all of our testimony. You know, this is our state before we were saved. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And then that wonderful, but God. There's the whole thing. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, I want you to go from there to Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So keep in mind where we just were there in Ephesians, dead in our trespasses and sins, sons of disobedience, walking according to Satan. We have this truth of all those who have been born again through faith in Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, I don't know if I dare do that. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what words? We have peace with God. I wonder if we plumb the depths of that hardly at all. Do you know what I mean? This one who rightfully would have put us in the lake of fire forever, now we're at peace with him. And I, by that, I mean he's at peace with us through Christ. That is so deep and so telling that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Staggering. Okay. I'm sure we've had our attention drawn to how the epistles over and over and over, somewhere in the beginning, say what? Grace and peace to you. To the saints at wherever, but grace and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. And it's not only Paul, although Paul wrote so many, you know, the Lord used him to write so many epistles that I think I counted 13 times Paul does it. So, you know, we need to back away a little bit and say, what's God saying? He's saying, live in my grace and in my peace. You know, be aware of these things. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Okay. But Peter does also. Peter uses it twice in both, in each of his epistles, and John also uses it. I'll just show you one or two of them. Romans chapter 1. And verse 7. To all who are beloved of God, verse 7, in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of how easy it is to fail in our lives of believers, and how easy it is to go on a rant, so to speak, with yourself as far as that failure is concerned, and lose sight of, and then kind of assume that that's the Lord's, that's how he's thinking of me. And he's saying, grace and peace. I forgave that sin. I have a defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when Satan accuses me, you know, all of those things that are so wonderful. Okay. Let's see. Let's go. I love the way Peter, with the Holy Spirit through Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, 2. Notice the word he adds here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Wow. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I think what he's saying is you study the word and get into it, you're going to see more and more and be more comfortable, so to speak, in this marvelous grace and peace. Maybe not lose sight of it as often as you or I have once done. You know, we have the Lord saying, the Lord Jesus saying, abide in my love. What does that mean? Does that mean he might not be loving me? No, what does it mean? Be constantly, continually living in the reality of my love for you. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Just... I'm just in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of, you know, someone disputing with me about the gospel. as I'm trying to talk to him, and he said, "You really think God loves you? The God who created everything? You really?" And then they said, "That is so arrogant." And I'm thinking, how do I even begin to, you know, it's not me being lovable, it's that this God is a loving God and he has placed his love on me and saved me and called me and, you know, all of these magnificent things. And this person totally turned it around. You know, "You're an arrogant idiot for thinking that the God who created the stars and the universe and so forth would love you," you know. I'd never heard that quite that way before. But, okay. So, this first peace is peace with God. It's the foundation for all the rest. Okay. Well, we'll develop that here. But springing out of that, growing out of that, is the peace of God. Okay, peace with God. I'm no longer his enemy. I've been reconciled to him through the death of his son. But now, God wants us to experience a peace in ourselves. You know, to actually be at peace. Now, he knows that we're in a world and our own lives are going to come up against things that are very much peace attacking. Okay, there are things that catch us, blindside us. We're not omniscient, and all of a sudden we've got this condition or person or tragedy. You know, there's every one of us could stand up and have a list of things that have been difficult for us, and that we would honestly say took our peace away for a while. Okay, till we got, you know, I find this that it takes me too long sometimes to get back on track. You know, you're dealing with something, it just overwhelms you, and you got to think about it. And you know, I always come back to when they, like my VA doctor said, I've had a lot of cancer. And I remember the first time, I was 39. And he said, "You know, if this isn't cured, it'll kill you in a year, okay? 6 months to a year." Well, 39, you know, I'm all into, you know, my family and being a dad. And I can remember laying awake at night and thinking, "What about John? What about Amy? What about Robin? What about my wife, Wynn?" You know, and it took me a bit, but all of a sudden I realized, God's sovereign. If this is what he's doing, he says he takes care of the widows and the orphans, and who am I to think that I'm a better replacement than him? You know what I mean? In other words, if it's, I distilled it down to, if this is his will for me, it's his will for them, and it's right. And I can remember this, I almost just feel this peace, you know, just roll over me, because I was dealing with the facts, not the facts of cancer, but the facts of who's my God? Who's my sovereign God? And that. Okay, so let's go to we're looking at peace with God, Philippians 4. And come to verse 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, and you think of, okay, that's where our story comes in, right? But in everything, what's your everything, okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, intense prayer, with thanksgiving, that's thanksgiving in the front end, as you bring it to him, not, well, when I see how this all works out, I'm going to give him thanks. Listen, if you know who he is, you know he is going to bring the right result, even if you don't like it. Okay, he's going to bring the right result, and that result is to his glory and to his praise. Okay, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He allows us to have what? A position on things, you know. And Lord, I really would like it to go this way. Okay? And he may answer that the way we want it to go, and he may not. But then we would still know with thanksgiving. Okay. And then it says this, and the peace of God. Remember I said we start off with peace with God. Now we're all the way to what? Peace, the peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding. You know how many times you were blessed by not knowing what was coming? I mean, it's huge. Comprehension, let's change that to, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Suppose you know. Suppose I knew my whole life going up to age 39 that I was going to have cancer. That's not good for us. God's omniscient. And I'm so thankful that we just are on the cutting edge of the present, looking back on his grace to us in the past and anticipating it in the future, but we don't know beforehand what's going to happen unless he's already told us in his word. You know, we know certain events of eschatology and so forth. Okay, and here's what I love. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, shall guard your hearts. That tells us what? I need a guarded heart. And I've always said it this way. Most of us are not that far from being crazy. We're a few inches from the edge if it's a good day. But all we have to do is, if we think incorrectly, we get more and more, it's not that far from being nutty, you know? You can start doing all these crazy things and thinking all these things, and they get bigger and bigger, and they overtake you. You know, you think of what fear can do to you, okay? And the Lord says, I love that. Be anxious for nothing. What is he saying? I have provision for you where you do not need to be anxious. Okay. Where if you follow this in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you lay these things out before the Lord, knowing he's going to do it the right way. You know, I wonder as a new believer how long it takes you to figure out that he will always do things the right way. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes I come across this thinking, well, it won't be right unless he does it my way. Hold on. Let's back up. He's the only one that knows exactly. He knows every facet of your life and everybody else's life, what he's going to do for his own glory, what he's going to do to save people, what he's going to do. You have no idea the depths of what he's doing. And the horrible thing for me would be if the Lord said, okay, whatever you want, I'll do. Here's a calendar. What day you want to die? Well, Lord, can you tell me if the rapture is before this? There's all kinds of things you and I don't know, you know, that we... Okay, you get the idea. So, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension or understanding shall guard your hearts. I need my heart guarded, okay, because I can overwhelm myself in my own thinking. If I think wrong about something, it can... I can remember, this is just a young kid, quite a bit of sickness, tonsillitis. I'd take my tonsils out, and it was horrible because it was ether. To me, it was the worst thing I'd ever faced, just being that it was like somebody put liquid gasoline on a mask and stuck it over your nose, and you couldn't breathe anything but that. So I go to the doctor. The doctor, he's checking on my tonsils, and he says, oh, they've grown back. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing that again. You know, and he's saying, you're doing it again. And so I can remember I was a wreck in my mind as I anticipated those during all those weeks leading up to this surgery again. I hated that. And they told me afterwards I didn't behave well. they've chased me all over that, the gurney, and with the mask, and it got it on me finally. And then I woke up with my mouth clamped open because I hadn't gotten enough. And I remember them just this shocked look of, what is going on? And then I still to this day see that hand coming down with that mask back over my face and everything going black. But they told me that, and my parents were not happy with me. I remember thinking along these lines, until that's over, nothing's fun. It robbed me of my, of even enjoying, you know, little things in my life, a baseball game or whatever, because I always had in my head, oh, now it's 13 days, you know. I was probably over the edge of that crazy part. But I think about how our hearts need to be guarded. And God has provided a way to guard your heart. Okay. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. Okay. Then let's go to John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 27. What a great thing the Lord says. Upper room discourse is going to be leaving the disciples. They're going to go through all the turmoil of his arrest and them just being befuddled by what happened to the kingdom. And Peter saying, I'll die with you, and then denying him three times. At any rate, he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Has there ever been, no, anyone that comes close to the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of tremendous attacks and disappointments from the way we would look at it. He says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. What's the world's peace? You know, Jeremiah talked about the false prophets who were always saying what? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, they're always promising. You think about how many times you hear, we're going to have world peace. You know, we're all going to, you know, my thought is, how's that going in your family? You know, how's that going in you? You know, just where do you think this all starts? Okay. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Recognizing we're going to face troubling things, fearful things. Okay. All right. Let's go next to Luke chapter 8. And in Luke 8, we're going to come down to verse 22. This is what I love. Now it came about, Luke 8, 22. Now it came about on one of those days that he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out, but as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake, just kind of a local thing, okay? And they began to be swamped and to be in danger. Notice, and be in danger. If you look at this, okay. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. We're going to die. And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, where's your faith? Whoa. Let me ask you this. Put yourself in a boat, okay? Put yourself in a boat as a believer. And my question is this. How could someone, any believer, what should they have done? So you're there and you're Peter. What should you do? I just love the thought of that, you know, because he says, you've got little faith. Well, I think, first of all, you would never say we're perishing because you're in the boat with the Son of God. You ought to know you're not going to die in this situation. I mean, it seems to me they're thinking, we're all going down and he's going to die too. Okay. But what if someone had stood up and said, in the name of my Lord who's sleeping, stop it. What do you think would have happened? I think the Lord would have said that was what should have been done. You know, you men of little faith, where's your faith? And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? Interesting thing to think about. I was reminded as I was going over this, that hymn, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Sleepless nights, okay. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And the peace, which is better than comprehension. Okay, now let's introduce it by going to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. I want to emphasize something here. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Okay? Let it take sway. Let it control you. The peace of Christ. Rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. Your salvation includes what? His peace. I want you to have that. Okay? But here's the thing. Here's what I'm emphasizing here. To which indeed you were called in one body. Now think about that. Every believer in Jesus Christ is a member of the body of Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit. What this verse is saying is, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you were called to this peace too. Okay? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So now, here's the thing. Any believer in Jesus Christ was called to peace, like you've been called to peace. How come then sometimes we're not at peace with each other? This to me is huge. Because if this person is at peace with God, and they are if they're in the body, are my standards higher than God's? You get the point I'm making? If God is at peace with them, I better be too. I think that's why that's the Holy Spirit is saying. You're all called to this peace in one body. Don't disagree with God about this. You see, don't say, well, I understand, but I don't know if that makes any sense. But finally, as we come to the end of this, what about peace on earth? Boy, I think the world hates as whenever they become aware of it and know about it, they hate what Scripture teaches about there's not going to be any peace on earth until the Prince of Peace returns to establish peace. And you can see how they can say, it's those Christians. They don't believe there ever could be peace. How could there ever be peace if those people are convinced that their Bible says there's not going to be any peace? So they've given up on it. And the whole world is longing for what? Peace. I want peace over there in Ukraine, you know. But remember what Jesus Christ said. And you will be hearing of wars. He's talking about the end times. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. This is like, and by the way, it's kind of what I already said, but if we can't be at peace with each other, and sometimes we're not, how in the world do you think that whole nations are not going to be going after each other and going after the resources that are over there or whatever it is they want, the power, the control? It's in the heart of man, the flesh, to go to war, to steal, to take, to control, to brutalize. It's there. Okay? All right. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. And we'll start in verse 6. Great prophecy, hundreds of years before Christ. For a child will be born to us, a son, the Son of God. The child born is, of course, the humanity of Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. A son will be given to us, And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. What a great ending to that. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, God's desire and drive to do this, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God said, I'm going to do this. Okay. No end to the increase of his government or of peace. War is over. Beat the swords into plowing shares. That's when it's really going to happen. You know, can you imagine the wealth that's tied up in weaponry across the whole planet? I mean, it's staggering, staggering. Okay. All right, and then go to Psalm 85. And in Psalm 85, this verse is so neat. Psalm 85, verse 10. Talking about because of what Jesus Christ has done. It says, loving kindness, or grace, and truth have met together. I think of it. Loving kindness is in the same room with truth. They can't get along apart from Christ. They can't get along at all. Then you're not even going to find them in the same room, so to speak. Because loving kindness, I'm going to pour grace out on this person. This person is your enemy. This person is a hostile person. This person's a sinner. And I like the second part even better. Here's another couple. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, it's just so beautiful. Through the reconciliation of Jesus Christ, righteousness, perfect righteousness, can now get along with peace. We're not under his wrath. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Meditate on that. It's just gorgeous. All the things that would have to keep them apart been totally resolved in Christ. And so now they throw their arms around each other, kiss each other. Father, how we thank you for the fact that righteousness and peace have kissed each other, Father. What a grand testimony of the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you for these things, Father, and may we live lives that exemplify that we have peace with God, that we are enjoying the peace of God, and that we've been called in one body to this peace. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.